ice. The referee is reaching into their pocket. What is it going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can only mean one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley, and with me tonight is...
John Brennig.
On tonight's episode, John and I are going to be diving deep into the... We're going to be diving deep into the last match against San Jose Earthquakes. We're going to be talking about our gut reaction to the match. Our hardest working player, as always, will be nominated and voted on tonight. We got a tough one for MVP. It's going to be real tough to choose our MVP tonight. We're going to tell you who needs to get off our pitch because it's the title of the podcast and we are contractually obligated to do so. We'll talk about our next match coming up against the LAFs. The Galaxy. Is that right, John?
Other LA team. There you go. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to stay on the West Coast, and then we're going to wrap up with, you know, all the stuff we got wrong. So how are you doing tonight, John?
Pretty good. Busy, eventful weekend, but good.
Yeah. It was a sports-packed weekend here in Nashville between the Predators, Vandy, and NSC. I was glued to my TV all weekend. How about you?
Bad place to be. No, we were out doing Easter egg hunts and traveling and kid things. So, and then one of them got sick this morning, and that was Joy.
Oh, no.
Upon Joyce. Yeah, no. So we're better now. We're good.
Yeah, we went on a Pokemon hunt yesterday with my daughter. Yeah. I learned I'm the cool dad because I play Pokemon Go. So
there you go.
All right. Well, we need to Pokemon Go into the next segment. Yeah. And that's where we just talk about our gut reaction to the match. So the boys in gold faced off against the San Jose Earthquakes, Quakes, or whatever you want to call them. And Saturday in the afternoon match, 2:30, which was nice, but it didn't really start till 2:45. To be honest. That was kind of sus. And the boys in gold came away with a draw. It was a 2-2 draw, which unfortunately I predicted. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But John, what was your gut reaction to this match?
The game, so I guess overall looking at the result, it feels like we dropped the points, like we have opportunities, but the game felt weird to me. I mean, we've played games like this. If you didn't watch the game, you look at the stats. We had 34% of possession. We got outshot like 17-8 or something, 9, somewhere around there. 17-8. There you go. I got it right the first time. We've played these games before where we've just, you know, kind of reacted. We've built from the back out. You know, it's kind of the Gary Ball feel, like we're playing for a tie. That's what those stats say. We didn't look like we were playing for the tie. Like we had plenty of open breaks. We had plenty of counterattacks. Like the stats tell the story of a San Jose team that was dominant, but if you watched it, yes, they had possession, but it wasn't very threatening. It was very passive. It was a lot of circulating the ball around the back, you know, midfield and their third, you know, a lot of passing sideways progress. They had some, they had a couple runs, you know, individual ones. I know Cade Cowell had a couple on his own, and they also loved to launch the deep ball, which I didn't realize, but they really like those deep passes to try and break things up. But it really didn't feel like there was much out of it. And you saw that by the fact that they got nothing out of open play. You know what I mean? The two goals they got were offset pieces, which, yes, they did progress, but one was a handball. You know, one was just a standard corner. So it felt very much like a game that, even though the stats didn't say it, we should have, it looked like we were dominating. It felt like we should have won that. And so, therefore, it was a little bit of a disappointment, you know, coming away with just a tie. So
it was, for me, it was a tie. So there are ties that feel like losses, right? There are ties that feel like wins. This is a strange one for me. I'm going to go a little counter to what you said. This is a tie that actually felt like a tie. it felt like things didn't go our way a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I actually think the two set piece goals that San Jose scored were more a function of them doing some things right. Well, no, that's not true. I'll actually talk about that a little bit later, but I think that only one of the set piece goals was on us. The other one, I think, was just them playing very well. I think they executed a really nice play. And I thought that we should have scored more. So in balance, this is just my gut reaction. In balance, it was a tie. It was, you know, it was a little bit of, luck on their side and poor play on our side. And it, in my mind, it all kind of evened out. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it all just sort of evened out. It was a tie. We should have won the game, but they played really well. I don't know if that's a function of the, you know, their manager. I know that there's controversy with Alameda leaving or not leaving or something, or wants more money. I don't know. I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on with all that. You know, I don't really care, honestly. The epic comb over, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I know, because you know I've got one myself, but the coach for San Jose had his hair was pretty nice. That was striking.
Yeah. I guess for me the weird feeling is we had such little possession, because I feel like when we possessed it, it only took 2 to 3 passes and all of a sudden we were already in the attacking third. It was so open that we were able to get to the attacking third, and it's like there was no buildup play. Last week we talked about with Kansas City, it was back and forth, but it was very controlled. Everything took time to build up. You watch the ball migrate, you know, go back. We tried to cross, you know, we would go back and forth across the field to try and get things open because their defense wasn't breaking down. This was just like every time we got the ball, it was just like a fast break was on, and all of a sudden we're off to the races, and Hani and CJ, or Hani and Godoy, or, you know, Mwil and CJ are off to the races just going at their defense and have open stuff and are just taking these shots. Like it was very weird to me, because I feel like the reason we never had possession is because we got it and we were just able to get to their third, and then we had shots and we took them, you know what I mean? And then they would take time and build back up. We'd get the ball back, and 30 seconds later, we'd be down there shooting and missing, defended, whatever it was. And then, you know, recycle. It was just very odd because there was no need to build up, because it didn't require a lot of complex passes of trying to pass it around to get across and to get something going. It was just, we were off to the races as soon as we got the ball.
Hani's goal
is not a typical Gary thing.
Hani's goal was just, he ran up the middle of the pitch and then kicked it in the goal. Like, I was looking around,
just a straight line.
I was looking around going, is anybody going to stop him? Or no? Okay. Then I'll just kick it in the goal. Like, I'm not saying it took a great amount of skill. It did, but I mean, you just ran up the middle of the pitch and just kicked it in the goal. I mean, I don't know, San Jose, that's not a good look. It's not a good look.
Well, and from what I've read, that's part of the blame in the system, and people are heaping on Almeida, whether he's on his way out or still stick around, whatever it may be. But, you know, they say that system, but it does. It was just a weird game to watch where our possession just turned directly into attack and, you know, sometimes fizzled out and that was it. And, you know, go back to, you know, them trying to possess and build up, because we did have a solid defense. They had to break down.
Godoy had a field day. He dominated them. He just made he made them just do whatever he wanted. That was pretty boss to watch. All right. Yeah. Well, let's transition in here to our hardest working player, because this one's going to be a little more interesting, because there was a lot of great, just like the Kansas City match and you know, previous matches, there seems to be a higher work rate. I don't know if the guys were just settling in, but things are looking good. What did you think of? Who is your hardest working player, and who do you think was in the running?
Yeah. So I will say, I think the caveat is, you know, you and I have kind of had an unwritten agreement, because this isn't in the contract, that doesn't exist, that, you know, we've always tried to pick different players, right, you know, for this. You know, we try to pick different players for the hard work and for the MVP. I mean, Hani could take all of it, both of our votes for hardest working and for MVP. I mean, he was all over, he was on fire. Yeah. So we see that. But again, like you said, we're trying to look at the whole picture here. I mean, for me, in watching the game, I agree with you. I think Godoy was up there. To give him credit, I didn't quite put him on the list. He's kind of asterisk. Leal was hardworking. It's just everything he did kind of fizzled out. Everything was, you know, he just wasn't quite right in the right gear and kind of meshing, kind of like the first game against Seattle, where it just seemed like he was just a little bit off from everyone else.
Right.
I thought Lovitz was doing some good work as well. But honestly, I kind of wanted to, in watching this game and a little bit of a holder for last game, I want to give it to Dave, because of throw in and because of all the defensive work that he's done. Like last game, he got the goal. He technically did not get the assist, because two Nashville players and a Kansas City player hit that header, because it bounced around a lot, but it was a goal because of his throw in. This one, he got the hockey assist on that throw in. He was also running around defending a lot of stuff. Both he and Jack, I kind of had a toss up between he and Jack, because I thought they both did a good job. Zimmerman, obviously captain, was doing a good job. But I felt like they never call out his name in the broadcast. He was a little quieter in the center. I feel like Dave on the left and Mayer taking more on the right were both very active and had to do a lot of defending because they made runs.
They were avoiding
support wheel.
I think they were avoiding Walker Zimmerman because he's obviously someone you don't have to be a genius to know you can't go down the middle and Walker Zimmerman's there, so you got to take it up the sides.
Yeah, so I think both of them, they had to do a lot of support on the sides because you saw Cade Cowell was running down their left side, and then he
18 years
to the
old
right later in the second 18. Half. Yeah, with also an interesting hair choice. Let's go with that. It's big.
Yeah,
locks,
I grew up with guys in Appalachia that had that same haircut, and I gotta say that's not a good look.
No, but anyway, I felt like both Dave and Jack were kind of tied for me because they had to do a lot of work because it was a fast paced game. You saw all the long balls in, so there was a lot of headers. There were a lot of aerial duels. There were a lot of that where they were trying to get it down there and they had to support. I think they both did a lot of kind of unheralded work. And so I kind of give it to Dave just because, again, a little more highlight doing some of the duties he does and getting the assist on the goal. But Jack was a close second because ever since we went to the 3/5 back, which was, you know, 3 games ago, Jack has played 90 minutes each game. You know, he played because we didn't have Walker, but then we, instead of getting Miller in last game, we had Mayer, Romney and Zimmerman. And now we had that again, and it's worked really well for us other than set pieces. So also just kind of a shout out to Jack as well, because he's playing and gelled really well for us in year 2 or 3 now, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going Jack Mayer. I'm going Jack, the milkman. Because his defensive play at the very beginning of the match was the difference maker, and he only got stronger as the game got on. And that, to me, that's becoming the hallmark of the hardest working player, a wire to wire player who puts in a consistent performance. And of course, you're right, Dave Romney also fits that category. Yeah. But for me, Jack, just because Jack needs, I know Jack's probably an avid listener of this podcast. I just want him to know that, you know, him taking over that right back role, you know, filling some pretty big, you know, soccer boots, is not unnoticed. And he obviously is the number 2 pick for a reason. And I'm glad he's on our squad. I'm glad he's on our pitch. And I just wanted to, this is sort of an early year. Just kind of like with Joe Willis in my last shout out, I want to make sure that Jack gets some love early on in the year because he did some good work. And like you said, there was a wire to wire performance. Obviously Dave Romney, deserves it as well. I'm also going to shout out again to CJ. He's heard the silent sort of, you know, encroachment of other players. He's probably being coached up by Gary, and he's responded with higher work rate, more defending, and I think, you know, he's just really stepped up, and he's beating Father Time. I didn't realize he's in his mid 30s, he's 35, is that right? Or 30? He's looking, you know, John's going to look it up.
33.
Not bad. Okay. He's right not, there. That's not terrible. All right. Still,
still younger than Dax.
Well, Dax is only a little bit younger than me, so let's be clear. So CJ again had a mention in my book. But we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, you got one more? What you got, John?
One more thing. I just want to say 2 notes on this. 1, Romney and Willis are still the only ones who've played every minute this year. But my favorite, I watched the little 5-minute highlight on MLSsoccer.com. Mm-hmm. And after each goal, if you notice, Jack was the most demonstratively disappointed. That first one went in, he threw his hands and his head down. He was like, dang it. Like, you could tell, like, I know Walker, obviously we've seen the passion of Walker Zimmerman, not the movie, but you know, but I like seeing Jack's, I mean, maybe he just demonstrates it more. I mean, you see Dave's kind of the stoic guy, but I like seeing Jack with the visible frustration because he knows we could do more. You know what I mean? Like, he's got, he cares, he's trying. I watched that and I was like, I like seeing that Jack is focused and in on that. And he is frustrated when that happens because he wants to win. You know what I mean? So
I did not notice that. That's a good shout out. Yeah. That's a good
on both of them. He was the only one who, like, of the 3 defenders, you could see, like, just demonstratively was upset.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we were going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about our MVP, which is going to be a really difficult. There was a lot of candidates in the running, but we're going to talk about our MVP. And we're also going to talk about who needs to get off our pitch. And this one's going to be a good one. This one's going to be a special episode, John. I can just feel it. So stay with us. And we are back. John, just real quick before we jump into our MVP, I just want to shout out to tonight's MVP in my book is Plantation Rum, the unofficial non-sponsored rum of the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I got this little bottle in celebration for the win in Kansas City. And so, yeah. Yeah, this
there we
is.
Go. We're gonna have to write down this list of unofficial sponsors, lest we forget.
Well, we've got the Redneck Mountain Dew. We got Plantation Rum. What are you drinking tonight, John?
A Truly margarita.
Okay.
Just, you know, off-brand light seltzer stuff. You know, stuff that tastes good.
Basic white girl. Okay, so who is your MVP for two?
I thought you were gonna go first.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you.
So Eric, who's your MVP?
My MVP. was Hani Mukhtar. So
really?
No, let's be honest. We were all worried and the Club Country USA podcast was worried. I checked in the Speedway guys were worried. I kind of dipped in, listened to the Speedway guys were worried. The Pharma guys were everybody it's like I said, it's simmering. Everyone's kind of the reporters were asking, you know, couple matches ago, even should we be worried? Is there something going on? Again, Gary just kind of shrugs it off, and of course, Gary being Gary was right. Right, the you play a team like San Jose, you run up the middle of the pitch, you just kick it in the goal, and there you're off the snide. It's that easy. No, he obviously on both sides of the ball and clogging up the middle of the pitch. You know, when we did have the lead. Kept them off the run of play from scoring. They had no chances in the final third, and it wasn't just our back line. It was all three phases of our team clogging up the – just everyone comments, and I don't know why everyone's surprised, how disciplined we play. And Hani Mukhtar, you know, joining in the formation, staying disciplined in his role, and, you know, doing the job of, you know, defending as well. I don't know why people are so surprised by that, right? That's just – professional level soccer. Anyway, so Hani obviously gets off the snide, gets the two goals. A three goal could have been. And I thought after he missed the first goal, I'm like, I don't know, man. You know, I thought, oh no, he's going to get, you know, because he looked, again, the body language was there. He looked frustrated, but, you know, he just kind of gutted it out, right? I feel like he really gutted it out. That earns him an MVP in my book. John, who is your MVP?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think Hani was the MVP of the game. Especially, I do agree that first one, it just seemed like, wasn't too many touches inside his head, you know, but he broke out of it. So, hey, we're all good. Going to build actually on something you mentioned earlier and give it to one Anibal Godoy for, again, a great effort in midfield. The lead up to that goal was beautiful. That where it just deflected off his chest. It just chest did it. And then, yes, the run. There was one, and I forgot. It was such a great moment last year. I don't know, I think it was Godoy. I think it was someone else that did a beautiful run that distracted for, you know, someone else. But
it was Zimmerman.
It was Zimmerman.
It was because you commented to me. It's like, what is he doing? What is he doing? Yeah. He's just going to run up the middle of the field.
Yeah. But I love that. Like, to me, you know, in basketball, one of the things I talk about is the off ball movement that matters just as much as what you do with the ball. And like, that's what it was. I mean, yes, he was an outlet pass for him, but it was also the fact that he was, you know, 8 yards away, but running parallel to him, there's a defender behind him that was like, I got to get Godoy. That's my responsibility. Because if he passes, so it left him. Hani, you know, had the one-on-one, still the defender, got around him, shot. It was beautiful. But I think Godoy put in a great effort. Like, you know, I know we started Godoy and Davis. This was the first one back where Onungwa didn't get the start, you know, in the last two games. But Davis was good, but he was fairly quiet overall. I think he seemed to fall a little more into the defensive midfielder role. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I saw Godoy making plenty of runs. You saw that going forward. Godoy, CJ, and Hani all running together, like pushing forward. And like I said, this was a beautiful open transition game. And I think Godoy likes that. It looked like he was enjoying himself out there making those runs and pushing forward with a couple one-touch passes and playing off of that, you know. And if you, I've always noticed he's really good at scanning the field and calling out, you know, passes and finding the right player to kind of open things up. And I felt like his skills lent to this game. I think we could have got, you know, I think had things gone different, he might have even worked his way onto the scoreboard if we were able to get up early and, you know, really put the foot down. Yeah. But I appreciated his effort, and I love seeing that, and especially just watching him work with the goal, because you saw him celebrate. Like, he knew, he's like, I didn't score this, but I was a vital part of this. Like, you know, he understood the role and fell right into it, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, let's on the flip side of that, let's talk about sort of the struggles that Lovitz had. I was concerned about a third of the way through the game. I'm like, something's off here. This doesn't, like, I actually found myself thinking Taylor Washington probably would be better in this role than Lovitz. Do you agree, or am I off on this?
No, he did seem slightly off, and it makes me wonder how much, you know, obviously Taylor starting two games ago might have been I know you talked about maybe it was a Steve Guppy special, kind of tinkering to do with that lineup because it fit with the B plus team, as, again, your term, not mine. In case we ever get in trouble for calling it the B plus team,
I'll take that L.
No, it did seem interesting. Like, last week, we definitely seemed as though the side play was much better. Again, I think Muil and Randall just seem off sync. Again, Randall seemed a little bit out of it, so the right side didn't seem to function as well this week as well. Again, I don't know if that was because of the way San Jose was playing, or if Leal was just off, a lot of overcooked passes, what have you. But I do agree, our left side just didn't seem nearly as productive as it was last time. The defense was off. The handball, it was an understandable one. It's not the best. Even our neutral broadcasters disagreed on the whole card thing. That was silly.
That was bull.
That was bull. But I do agree, he just didn't seem like the Lovitz of a few games ago that was making huge runs and blowing things up on the left side. It just, I don't know. It didn't feel right. I don't know if it was a matchup with the opponent, or if he's just a little out of sync, or maybe there's some sort of slight knock or something that actually is why he stayed out the last couple of games instead of just running with the hot hand. But I don't know.
I don't want to dwell on negativity because in our MVP section here, but I felt like, let's talk. There's also another elephant in the room. It's Rondell Leal. His play last couple games has been off. Not bad. Not that he's not working. I don't think you would ever accuse a player of his caliber of not putting in effort. But it seems like something. He's got a overcooked left, right foot now. And I don't know. He used to have the softest of touches. And it seems like he's just overcooking everything. Am I wrong on that one? Am I off on that?
Nope. I saw that too. And I made a comment, I think I sent to you, of, you know, when he tried to crank that ball and whiffed and it just continued rolling out of bounds when he completely whiffed, I was like, you know, that's not how you earn your way back on the national team. And I kind of wonder, maybe that's a little pressure in his back of the head. Maybe he's trying too hard, or he's worried about something. But I agree. Like, last week, the whole team, like I said, we could have nominated anyone for the hardest working man, because not only was there a high work rate, everyone seemed to gel. It was a team effort from end to end. Played together. They worked well together. It was great. This definitely seemed like, okay, yes, Hani put the team on his back. That can happen. He's the best player in the team. Sure. Yeah. He's the best offensive player. We can argue whether Zimmerman's better. but it didn't feel – it just felt like there was some disjointedness throughout the team. And I agree. I think, not to pick on them, but Lovitz and Leal seemed to be the center of that.
Yeah.
But it definitely felt off in this game. So I'm kind of curious to see what we come out with next against a Galaxy team that is going to be – look at least a little more like Kansas City, where it's going to be more organized passing. We're not going to be able to fast break on everything. We're going to have to
work against the Galaxy
to break them down.
Nope, not against the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's going to be a game where we need to have those passes flowing and everything working together. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens between this week and next. But
I didn't want to leave off with the comment I made earlier and saying that, you know, that second goal was Lovitz's fault. That was 100% his. Yeah. That was on him. I don't know. Again,
I agree. That one puzzled me because the first one, if anything, I think it was a little bit Joe's fault. I think he probably should have been a little more left, but it was still a really good shot. But the wall was to the right. Anyway, so if anyone, I'd pin that.
It was a good shot, but he saw it. So
yeah, he did. I know that was weird. But the second one, I know Lovitz was the guy guarding the post. He probably should have come up, but I also wonder about that call and why we set up there. So I don't wonder how much of that was where he was supposed to be and he was playing the role or not. Cause I feel like we've seen Taylor do some post defending too. So I don't want to pin that 100% on Lovitz because I wonder if that was what the call was that they wanted an extra assist on the backside. So, you know, without being able to read the coach's head and what they told him to do, or I mean, heck, if Zimmerman called that on the field or Joe did, but I agree. He's the one who kept him onside. Otherwise it would have been offside and we would have been fine. So,
yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Well, offside or not, we're going to have to talk about who needs to get off our pitch. And this one's going to be, a special one, John, because I've got a special stadium opening themed get off my pitch.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
And, so Tuesday, you and I had the chance to visit the stadium for the first time. And I think it was a special day. It was the perfect, awesome. It was the perfect day because it was just like when we played our first game at the First Tennessee Park, now First Horizon Park. It was rainy. It was, you know, blah. It was, you know, there was puddles of water everywhere, but the pitch was perfect. And we, you know, we did a short video. Already I'm like, wow, this looks great. I mean, it's been raining cats and dogs. That pitch looks immaculate. Even Gary had to put on his cleats to walk out there. So, but as I'm driving over there, I'm listening to the other podcasts, and again, I just can't let this go with Tim and the guys. I can't let it go with Tim and the guys at the Club Country USA, clubcountryusa.com. Follow them, like them. And I'm listening to it, and I'm just getting so angry driving down Powell Avenue. And I started realizing that I really hate Nashville weather. So the my red card is going to be for Nashville weather. If it rains on opening day, that's get off my pitch. Like, mm-hmm. I want it to be sun out, bluebird. It's going to be May 1st. It's going to be a beautiful day. I told you I want to win. I've already told you I want to win. I selfishly want that win. I'm selfishly saying Nashville weather gets a red card. It's been absolutely weird weather where I've had to put on my jacket again today. It's rains. It's, I don't know. So Nashville weather, this one's probably going to have to come up again later on in the year when it's like 105 degrees on a July game, a July match, and we're playing it. It's supposed to be a 7 p.m. kickoff, and the sun's still like in the middle of the sky, and it's because of, you know, time change and like crap. And, you know, I'm like burnt to a crisp in my face, and so I'll probably have another red card for that. But because I'm on the – because, you know, you saw the seats I'm at, so I'm on the sunny side because I'm like – I'm an idiot. But I love that. I love sitting on the – where I can see the benches. So, yeah, that's who can get off my pitch is Nashville weather.
So before I get to mine, I will say one, that is something I noticed because the supporter section is on the north-ish because it's not perfectly north-south, north-ish side. So I noticed when the sun did come out, we're going to be in full sun in the first couple rows on those days. It's going to get toasty.
Crispy.
It's going to be crispy.
so we're gonna your old buddy Stephen, PhD, is going to be crispy by the end of that season.
Yeah, he's going to be beet red. Weather, that's a good one. No, mine is probably something that I saw a few people mention, but I'm going to take it a level higher. So we watched the game. So this game was nationally televised on, you know, Univision and TUDN.
TUDN.
I don't know how to.
I watched
TUDN. Yeah,
And it's got cool feature that if you turn SAP on, it actually turns the English broadcast on.
Yes, and I watched it on Twitter, which is the same English broadcast. You and I checked on it. And I will say this, the broadcasters were horrible.
They were terrible.
They knew nothing more about these two teams than the one pager they got of here's the names, here's, you know, the brief history. By the way, Nashville plays a game on May 1st, you know, plug that a couple times. Like, they were bad. It was, I mean, first of all, the multiple golf analogies about the goal shots, which I'm like, you realize probably less people watch golf than watch soccer worldwide. So that's a poor choice. The rub in his racing comment about sent me to the floor when CJ was up against Nathan going on thing. And, you know, they said, and he found him. He's like, well, it's a little rub in his race. And I'm like, seriously, this is what we're going to say. So they were frustrated me, but my choice is not to give them the red card because they were men doing their job. It's to MLS itself for this broadcast choice. I understand you partner with things, but first of all, the MLS broadcast rights have always been a mess. I didn't really mention it last time, but when I had to watch the recording last week because I was late, I didn't, you know, because Nashville has a local deal, I couldn't just watch on at NashvilleSC.com. There's no recordings. You have to go to ESPN Plus. Well, I live in Nashville, so that game's blacked out. So I had to go pay $11 for a month's worth of a VPN to VPN to Atlanta, at least pretend to be in Atlanta, so that I could watch the recording on ESPN Plus because I'm a cable cutter. Hey, there's a lot of us. Deal with it. So MLS broadcast rights in general suck. I've heard rumors about what's coming next, but this was just a cherry on top of, hey, they have this broadcast. We'll just shove some B-team or English guys on here because who's actually going to watch this?
They got them off Craigslist. I swear, they're just looked up broadcasters on Craigslist. Like, oh, they look good.
I mean, you and I probably could have done better.
Oh, we would have.
Now, we would have been far more biased, horribly biased. Absolutely. But at least we would have known what's going on.
I would have taken it as my opportunity for my 15 minutes of fame to work my magic, John. It would have been unforgettable. The tens of hundreds of people that tuned into that broadcast would have been like, did you
hear? I never
saw
more than 15K on the official Twitter broadcast counter, by the way.
15K?
That was the peak in like the 10th minute or something. Yeah, it stayed more around 9. But so my red card can go to MLS for the whole thing that led up to that, to having Craigslist rented announcers on the broadcast that we had to put up with. And at almost one point I muted just because it was just so bad.
It was pretty bad.
So there you go. MLS itself.
Wow. I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised it took this long for MLS as an entity to get a red card from us.
It's because we haven't had any transfers and had to talk about the transfer rules and stuff.
The gam and jam and the shroot
gam,
bucks.
Tam, salary
shroot
caps,
bucks.
Allocation order.
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't had to talk about any of that, Joy, because the team was built fairly normally this year. So
yeah, hopefully we won't be talking about that in the future. But we will talk about we'll talk about our next match coming up after our break. So stay with us. And we are back. Let's bring this podcast home, John. So who are we playing next and why are we playing them?
Well, we're playing the Galaxy. Why is because we're in the Western Conference? I don't know if you
I wanted you to bring that back up because I'm so sick of, like, San Jose drove home the point that I'm already sick of being in the West.
That was another thing on the broadcast. I don't blame this. I feel like this is the MLS line because this is the way I've heard it phrased, that Nashville's in the Western Conference. The way they phrase it, it's like we chose and said, hey, you know what would be fun? We haven't been to San Jose, guys. Do you want to go to San Jose? Do you want to go to
LA? No,
I
don't.
No, we don't. Like, and I know it's because they had to and the MLS forced this upon us, but I do feel like the way they've talked about it, it makes it sound like it's some sort of choice where Nashville was like, ooh, we'd like to be the ones to have all this extra travel, especially in the year when we're going to open our stadium. No, we didn't choose. We hate this. No. But anyway, yeah. So we'll be going to LA to play in Carson, technically.
It's not in LA. It's in Carson.
Yeah, it's in Carson.
Dallas
is in Frisco. You know, nothing's actually in the city it's in.
I'll be, just cards on the table, time as a DC, coming up as a DC United fan, I have a deep hatred for the LA Galaxy for several reasons. But I also have a lot of respect for them as well. I feel like, they really went out and got the big names, Beckham. Zlatan. Yeah. Zlatan obviously bigger than Beckham in my opinion.
Yes. In fact.
Yes. In fact, bigger. Props to them for that because they really pushed MLS to say, hey, this isn't a retirement league. Go out, get some names. Go out and get some big names, get some star power in here. So props to them for that. Mm-hmm. But I hope we beat them. So this game, how do you, this one's going to be a weird game, another weird game. How do you see this coming? How do you see this game? Before we talk about the score line, how is this game going to unfold?
I'm honestly, I'm not sure. I have not watched much more than a highlight or two of LA games, of Galaxy games. There's two LA teams, to be specific, of the Galaxy games this year. They seem to, at least to me, the biggest change year over year is that they seem to be a much better defensive team this year. They seem to be a complete team. Last year, they had a lot of offensive talent, though Chicharito got injured, and so he didn't play for a good chunk of last year, and this combination of things kind of fizzled out, and they didn't make the playoffs, or barely did, I forget. But I think they're a much more complete top-to-bottom team this year, so I think this could look a little more like the Sporting Kansas City game, but probably with less opportunities. I think this is going to be a lot of passing and a very slow build-up progressive game with a lot of midfield back and forth. I don't anticipate it being quite, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get away with, you know, 12 shots apiece, you know what I mean? Or less.
Who has the better midfield? Who has the better midfield?
That's a hard choice.
Because I think they do. I think
they do too.
I think they got the better midfield. No offense.
I think they have the better midfield and definitely attacking midfield, that transition. I mean, I guess you could say Chichiri is probably also better on form, so their striker is, but also I think Hani is, he's not technically our striker, but I think he contributes just as much to our team, if that makes sense.
LA has, the Galaxy has done something I never thought possible, which they have made me a Chicharito believer. And you and I, you know, and you have heard me dog this guy, put him down, make fun of him. But I got to tell you, you know, the more I learned about his story, the more I learned about how he came up through his league, his playing days, the work he does, I'm like, I don't know. Now I kind of eat, I have to eat a lot of my words, because now I've got a lot of respect for his. I may not like the team he plays for, but they've really made me a Chicharito believer in that. You know, they got him to, again, to put some star power, to put butts in the seats and some star power in that team, and he has delivered on what he wanted to do. Like they asked him to do it. He's done it. And I don't know. And LA's broadcast, well, at least MLS's broadcast has done a good job of, kind of telling his story. And so I've really enjoyed that. I wish they would do that with Hani. I wish they would, because Hani has a great story. No one's talking, I mean, cool. Obviously they're talking about his offensive, but no one's telling his story. I would like them to talk a little more about that on the, you know, on maybe if we get on a national broadcast. I think that people are interested in that kind of thing. MLS has a, let's talk about the broadcast. You brought up the broadcast problem. That was on, so Jason Davis on United States of Soccer on the XM radio, he talked about this specifically in that MLS has a problem, and its broadcast sucks. Okay, it's terrible. It's scattershot. It's all over the place. It's on Fox. It's on this, blah, 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 blah. No one knows where to watch it. People don't watch. You know, Liga MX is the number one soccer watch soccer in the United States consistently every year. And it's obviously why. I actually dipped into two Liga MX games this weekend. They're great. They're well-produced. The stadiums look great, and the teams are exciting to watch. And you always know where, I mean, let's be honest, you always know where they're going to be, you know where to watch them, right? Mm-hmm. Club America, Cruz Azul played a great game. I don't know. So MLS has got a lot of work to do. So I hear that Apple is going to get involved. I don't know about that. Obviously there's money involved, but that's not a done deal. MLS has got to get their act together. I'm gonna pile onto your red card with MLS, but on the broadcast side, it's a mess. It's got to get better. We've got to do better. The ownership has to push the league to do better.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with all that. I think it's got to be unified. And like, I know the Nashville thing with the local to do that, and you know, my TV theory, but I agree. I think we have to have a clear solution. It's got to be one place to go. I understand one channel. I understand a local broadcast. Yeah. I get that for local.
We should
games.
Have that.
But I like, at least I like, we almost have with ESPN where it's, ESPN. Now, granted, if they're broadcasting a game, you can't stream it. I understand that. That's their thing.
So frustrating.
I know, but it's their platform. They get that control. But everything else is mostly on that, except for the exceptions that are on Fox. You know what I mean? So it's like, this game, last week's game had me going through the schedule and looking, okay, when we play San Jose again, guess what? It's also on Univision and TUDN and Twitter. So I'm going to have to either go to that game because it's here or, again, watch it on Twitter. And then I had to go look and be like, okay, which games are on Fox, where I have to figure out because, again, they don't have a good streaming solution. So I agree. I think the whole thing is a mess and they need to unify that. I think it would help with numbers. I think it would allow people to locally understand their team. Like, we all know we can go watch on the website. How many people really – how many casual fans want to go to NashvilleSC.com, click on the stream button and watch it, or then – do what I do, watch it and Chromecast it to a TV, you know, if you don't have a default browser or something, so that you can watch it when I could just sign to the ESPN Plus app. But no, that's blacked out. So we can, you know, or to have some other app or something you can do. Like, I agree, they would get a lot more eyes on screens to do that, and it would make a lot more sense. So,
yeah, and it's not about the I also want to make sure that I'm clear. It's not about the talent. Tyler Twellman, I think, is compelling, you know, right? I think that, you know, Jamie and like the talent that they have calling the games, other than the Craigslist guys that they got for the TDUN broadcast. But generally speaking, I mean, we make fun of that. But generally speaking, the broadcast is good. I mean, it's a good broadcast.
No, I mean, I made a little bit of fun at the KC guys, but they were good. But I mean, like, even the Atlanta guys, I don't like them because they are homers and they are a bit more biased than I think you should be. But they are good.
Yeah, they are good.
They are good. I like the way they do it.
I listen to that.
They're for Atlanta.
Yeah, I listen to that.
They don't cover it up as well as you should.
Yeah, so I had the when I was working in my workshop, I had the Atlanta match on in the background. You're right. Their announcers are so homer, but they're good. But they are
They're very good. I love
passionate about they're passionate about Atlanta. They know that team inside and out. They know everything.
Oh
going
man,
on.
I remember I watched some of the first match with Joseph back, and they were so excited to have Joseph on the field again. Because they want him to be out there and they want him to succeed. Like, you could tell they care. They care about it. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Again, you're not going to get that on a national broadcast. You get Taylor and stuff. But he knows and he makes up for it. But yeah, I agree. I think they have some good talent. They just, the production and the availability is a little bit painful.
What time?
So anyway, LA.
What time's the game? Come on, John. What time's the game?
I mean, 9:30 p.m. 9:30 p.m. Central Time.
Well, that's past my bedtime, John. So what am I going to do? I'm something years old. So I mean,
It sounds like you're going to have to watch the you're going to have to record it, whereas I would have to do the ESPN and VPN thing, but you actually have cable, so you can record that, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'll stay up. I have to stay up for boxing matches that apparently start at midnight because they all fought in Vegas, but yeah, I'll try to stay up for this one. I'll take a nap during the day because that's what old people do. All right.
There you go.
All right, let's wrap this up. So what did we get? VAR time. This is our video. Go ahead.
I want to hear the score. What do you got prediction?
Oh, yeah.
Prediction of the score. You didn't.
I think it's going to be a 0-0 game. I don't think there's going to be a goal scored. I think it's going to be a 0-0 game.
I'm not going to lie. I think they win 1-0. I think we do lose this game. This is the first one I've ever said. I think we do because I think they're good and I think they're going to be at home and they pressure us. And if it is, I'm okay with ending this road trip on 11 points. I would love 12. I would love 14. And to get a win in LA, that would be amazing. I think they're going to win. I really do. I'll go with 1-0. I mean,
someone had told us out of the 8 games you would have 14, 15 points, I'd be like, whoa, seriously?
Yeah, I'd be shocked. We made it past 10. We're doing good. I'm happy, but wish we would have got more from San Jose. But again, I think
if we beat LA and if we beat the Galaxy, if we beat the Galaxy in their home pitch, that would be another statement. That's a Seattle level statement game.
Well, and especially because it's the game right before Philly comes here, which though they looked questionable this week because
they looked
got beat.
Yeah, they look
so maybe they're not quite as But anyway.
Yeah, New England, Philly both look good. But I'll tell you who looks good is New York. The NYCFC, FCFC, boy, they took Utah to the shed. They beat the stuffing out of that team.
You know what the best part was? Before the game, RSL official Twitter, I sent it to you, shout out the video where they're like, hey, we found the banner, and they zoomed in like 6 times to show the banner. Then they got shellacked, but at least they made fun of that banner because it still sucks.
NYC had some nice replies to that. All right, VAR time. Let's what did we get wrong from last week?
Oh, I evidently said CJ's goal was not a set piece. Oh, I said it was on a set piece, but it was a throw-in. I mean, yeah, it's a. I mean, with Dave, those are set pieces essentially, but technically it was on a throw-in. So I had that incorrect last week. Yeah, I mean, we treat them as set pieces. Just I think technically it's not the definition because it's not a free kick in the field of play.
Yeah, fair enough. Whatever. Fair enough. I failed to mention that Dave Romley even scored a goal. So, you know, I'm sure his agent would love to contact me and talk about that. And
basically, we both agree with Dave Romney, which I try to make up for by giving him the hardest working man this week. Well, please don't hurt us, Dave.
And he is if there's a hardest working player of the year, he's going to get it every year.
Well, I mean, last year he didn't play in three matches, right? The last one of the year because he got injured
and we really missed him. Games. I think he would have been a difference
maker. Really miss him in those. I agree.
He would have been a difference maker. Well, difference maker or not, we are going to talk about the Galaxy game, Sunday next week. So stay with us. John, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
It was good fun. Do it again.